Okay, well, welcome everybody for another episode, episode 201 of Forever Bristol City podcast, and it is fixture release day. And as I tweeted the other day, it's almost like the night before Christmas, or, well, it's actually the day now, but joining me for this hour-long special where we talk about transfers and also dissect the fixture list and anything else that takes our fancy, joining me are Neil and Ian. Morning, chaps. Are we enjoying the summer? You first, Neil.
Busy work-wise, but enjoying the summer. The football hasn't stopped, really, has it?
No.
I mean, even with the internationals and the Champions League and all the rest of it, it doesn't feel that we've actually had much of a break from football. I know City we have, but otherwise, watching everybody in the under 20s and all the rest of it, isn't it?
And fixture release day, is it? Do you feel that anticipation that you did when you were a child at Christmas? What's going to be in the Pandora's box?
Well, I work one weekend in four on my shift pattern, so I have to, as soon as it comes out, I look at it and start booking off all the days. I'm sure everybody else starts rearranging their work around the City fixtures as well, the games that you just can't miss, really.
Yeah, and then you get screwed by the TV schedule.
And then they change it on you.
Ian, you've been enjoying the summer. I think you've had, you're down on the coast anyway, but does it feel like the night before Christmas for you, or just like, oh my God, what's coming up next? You know, what's the run-in look like? What are the key dates? What do you think about fixture release day?
Well, I typically look for who we've got the first day, and I said to you and Neil earlier that I'm happy with anything at home, really, but I don't want one of the promoted clubs at home, because they come up with some momentum and it's normally a problematic game. I'd actually like, if I could pick a home fixture, I wouldn't mind something like Southampton at home to kick the season off with. I quite like that. But yeah, as for the summer, really good. Obviously, you know, I live in Devon, so I've got beaches within, I don't know, I've probably got half a dozen beaches within 30 minutes, 40 minutes drive. And obviously, I can get the dog down there, and I've been watching a lot of cricket. So, and that was a fantastic game in the Ashes. There's another one coming up next week at Lord's. So, all good, mate. And I'm going off touring England for a change. I'll be doing that for a couple of 3 weeks. So, all good.
All good stuff. Well, look, before we talk about transfers coming in, of which there's been a few, and I think everybody's been pretty chipper about it, what about players that are going out? And, I mean, Ian, you might know this, and I'll ask the same of Neil. Has he gone to Bolton? Has that deal gone through now? That's the most recent thing that's hitting the news, isn't it, Ian? Is that confirmed or what?
No, it's not been confirmed, but it's been well touted, and it's been in all the media, the official media, not just social media. So I suppose it's just subject to passing a medical. So it's a shame for the lad, and I hope we've got a sell-on clause, because he's another one where you've got to throw the caveat in if he can stay fit. And I think League One, the pace of League One will suit him better than the Championship. Because we've spoken before, I tend to have spoken before, about what happens when players join us from League Two. It is a massive step up. And perhaps going into League One, Bolton are a decent side. They play good football under Ian Everett. So, I wish him well. And I hope we've got the old 20% sell-on clause, because I've got a feeling if he can get himself right and he can get fit, he'll be a good player and he'll have a decent career.
Yeah. Neil, he was almost a bit of a marquee signing, you know, League Two Player of the Year, all the goals and assists and everything like that. I mean, bitter disappointment, but sometimes these things don't work out, do they?
Yeah, I think it's a real indication of the way we're going next season, I have to say, really. I think a back four now, isn't it? I think that's kind of written. If you're releasing the one player
wing back,
that you're saying is your right wing back, because Tanner's not a wing back, Sykes,
and then Scott,
yeah, and McCrory not coming as a wing back. So you've got a player there that you've brought in with the best intentions, that you're playing a certain formation. Unfortunately, he got injured. He looked quite bright at the start of the season.
Yes, he did.
Didn't he? A few of the pre-season friendlies. And then we went to Wickham, didn't we? Scored and set up one in the cup and stuff like that. Looked quite bright. But it just hasn't worked out for him. like Ian said, decent sell-on clause, maybe even push it like the Riley Taylor deal, 30%.
Yeah.
Go max like that, sell him for what you pay for him, 100,000, something like that. And jobs are good in, really. Yeah. I mean, you're covered if he has a really good time down in League One. They get a decent fee for it, you get a decent fee for it, but he's not going to get any minutes next season, is he? If he stays here, he's about what, fifth choice?
Fifth
choice in that position. So
yeah, and sticking with you, Neil, the player that seems to be sort of calling all the shots at the moment in terms of, you know, if he goes, it's going to affect other purchases maybe, but Thomas Kalas, as Ian said, and I'll come on to Ian about Thomas in a minute, when he's fit, he's a great defender, but, you know, we don't know that, and we're being left in limbo, and we don't really want that because there's other defensive signings that we could make, but they're predicated by what happens with Thomas, you know. And
I mean, it's a massive shame last season and a bit with Thomas Kalas, because as everybody says, he's by far and away our best defender, isn't he? When he came on against Man City in the cup, you saw his pedigree, didn't you?
Yes, he did.
You know, when he was playing against those top players, you looked at the City team and you thought, oh, there's about a couple of players on this pitch that are probably at that sort of level, just below the Man City level. Kalas was one of those.
Yeah.
Kalas was one of those. So you saw the quality there. But the caveat is there's no point, even if he went down to half what his current wages are, you know, going back to Richard Gould, that famous saying that he said about, you know, pounds on the pitch.
Yeah.
There's absolutely no point paying somebody a five-figure sum.
No.
Supposedly.
I think Mark Ashton said that as well. With minutes on the pitch. Oh, God. Ferrari, there we go. Yeah. Do you remember that?
But then a five-figure sum, if he's going to be injured, though. And who knows? Once people stop being out for a whole season and there's one injury leads to another injury and leads to another injury, and you do have some real question marks, don't you? But on his day, absolutely fantastic. Yeah. Absolutely fantastic. And it was great to see him at QPR.
Yeah,
last game of the season, if they leave, then,
I mean, Ian, you know, his agent, his advisors, he himself, you know, he knew his contract was up. And if somebody was going to come for him, surely they would have come by now. And City have made their best and final offer. And we're not going to improve their offer to make him stay. So he's got really two choices. You know, well, he signs, what's there, which then commits us to wages for a potential Nathan Baker situation. It ain't a great look at the moment, Ian, is it? I don't think. I mean, take on board all the positives about him, what he looks like, but, you know, nobody's beaten a path to our door to sign an out of contract Czech international.
Well, firstly, we don't know if there's, you know, what interest and what offers, but there's certainly been nothing in the press or anything locally even rumoured. One I thought yesterday that would be not really out of left field would be a possible move to Ipswich and Mark Ashton. And that would really put the set the cat amongst the pigeons, wouldn't it? I mean, I'm not claiming any knowledge of that. I'm just saying it wouldn't surprise me if it happened.
They're going to be collecting players like they do, aren't they? I mean, they haven't started massively yet.
Well, hang on. The other thing that you've got is Kalas can play left centre-back. And we've got Atkinson out injured until October, November, possibly even December, because ACLs are normally a year. Now, we have got, and I put a chart together the other day of who can play where, and it's surprising how many options we got. Like you mentioned right back or right wing back. We've got four players who can play there that don't immediately spring to mind. So we've got Tanner, Viner, McCrory and Sykes. Now, McCrory is an interesting one because he played four different positions for Aberdeen quite regularly in different formations last season. And Pearson broke the golden rule of not signing anyone over 6 foot when he signed him and Dickie. But if you go back to left centre-back, the only other two that we've got who, well, you could include Cam Pring, who can play there. But you've also got Cal Naismith, who can play there. But we don't.
And you've got Duncan Idahan, you know, the forgotten man, but he can play there as well.
I've left any of the under 21s for the minute. I've left them out of the equation because I don't see them getting many games, but we'll see. But you've also got the new lad, Roberts, from Brighton, who It's strange. Brian Tinian said, well, you know, the market we're shopping in is League One and League Two. And I know that Roberts was on loan from a League One club, to a League One club. But the players we've signed have either been from the Championship, the Scottish Premiership, or the English Premier League. So we haven't signed anybody from League One and Two yet. But Roberts can play there. Now, depending on which website you look on, he's either 5'7" or 5'9". But he did play. He has played centre-back, and apparently, according to Derby fans, he's very good in the air. So, you know, that does give you an option. But if Callas stays, his obvious place to start is on the left centre-back in that back four that Neil was talking about.
Right. Okay, so that's Callas. Sticking with you, Ian, Zach, the club are exercising, or have exercised, a one-year option. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
He can leave next summer. I mean, you know, there was a few little rumours going around that Brentford were interested, and he's not going to walk into their team, but squad player at Brentford, and without any doubt the most improved player at Ashton Gate next season. I mean, yeah, there's one thing exercising the one-year option, but we really want to tie him down, don't we? And maybe he's got aspirations above us. What do you think?
Well, that's what Phil Alexander's trying to do. He's trying to negotiate. They've offered him a contract last season, and him and his agent turned it down. So when he comes back, and that's probably Alexander's going to talk to him in a couple of weeks' time, or a week's time, he may be on holiday still or whatever. But when they recommence pre-season training, I think it's July the 1st, they're going to sit down with him and his agent and put a deal in front of them. Now, if he doesn't sign that, then I think we have to look to move him on. Because he's now become too good a player to lose for nothing. So you either take the view of, well, we'll keep him for the season. If he has a good season, we might get promoted. And then all the rules change because we can offer him more money and he'll have the chance to play in the Premier League. But you take the risk of him walking out the door for nothing. And if he has a good season, there'll be plenty of suitors.
Yeah. Neil, what's your take on that? What's your take on Zach?
Well, I think the thing is that the way that we've done things in the past, by all accounts, the deal that we offered him is pretty much similar to the deal that he's on at the moment. He's 26. He's at this key time in his career. I'm not surprised that he's turned around and said, look, I'm a first-team regular. He's played, I think, last three seasons, he's done something like 45, 46 and 46 games. Yeah. You know,
His fitness
levels have been great. His availability has been great. But every player has the level. And we've got to trust the club in the basis of what the club says, how much they think that person is worth. Mm-hmm. And in all honesty, there are a myriad of options for us at centre-back. We're talking about, 22nd of June?
Mm-hmm.
There are options. I did see yesterday that Jake O'Brien, who we've linked with quite a few times and tried to do it, that a French club have offered £1 million for him.
Mm.
So that just complicates it a little bit, doesn't it? You know, in terms of the cost of these sort of deals at the end of the day, and just shows. But I'm not sitting here thinking if Zach walks out the door, that's a disaster. Because I think we've got time to organise and get a right-sided centre-back in at the end of the day. I'd rather that than we pay somebody more than we're willing to do.
Fair enough.
The decision of Phil Alexander is, do we go back and do we improve on that offer? If he says, no, we're going to stick with that offer, I can see him being gone.
But then you've got a transfer fee plus wages of bringing a replacement.
Not always. I think there's a lot of players. I mean, if you looked how many players are out of contract around the place at the moment as well.
There's
a lot of players in free agency and a lot of players looking for clubs, and wage demands will start dropping over the course of the summer. Mm. And you always, you know, you have your key targets at the start of the summer, and you may, you know, have to pay some decent wages to get them in, because otherwise they'll turn around and say, like Callas, I'm going to just pause a moment, like Jason Knight, who we'll come to.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then just look at their options. Someone like Zach, absolutely no problem with him being advised, you're 26, if you sign a 3-year, that is the key part. 26 to 29, that is a key part.
It's a key part of his career.
Key part of his career. And in all honesty, if you're signing a contract similar to the one that you signed at 23, I don't blame him. I don't blame him.
No,
worth it. But it'll be interesting to see.
You won't be crying. You won't be crying if he goes out. Yeah, you won't be crying if he goes. Okay. Look, everything in terms of future spending is dependent on the Alex Scott situation. And Ian, as you've commented on Twitter, you know, yeah, all great, all this interest, but no bids yet. I thought when I saw Wolves had sold Neves to one of the Arabian clubs, I just read in the press somewhere this morning that he might be going to Newcastle. So he's probably gone to Saudi Arabia and then get signed by Newcastle. That would be an interesting one. But the Scott situation, you know, the hype surrounding Alex is tremendous. And for me, if he's going to stay, he's got to sign a year extension to protect us, because his value, if he doesn't sign, his value is going to go down, or it won't be as high as it is now, because the hype is there and it's the hype that's generating all the interest. Because as we've said, 4 assists, 1 goal, but then you've got to dig deeper than that because it's the assists to the assists. I get that. But, you know, Alex Scott going on a scale of 1 to 10, and him being here, I'll say on the 1st of September, because there's always a bit of activity that happens in the last 2 weeks of the window. 10, he's gone. 1, he's still here. Where does that look on that spectrum on everything you've seen so far?
I think it's about a 3 or a 4, he's still here. I'd go the other way around. If you're saying 10...
10's gone. You said 10's gone. 1 is still here.
Yeah, I'd say probably about a 3 or a 4. On the basis that, yeah, they're. I mean, West Ham are said to be in talks with representatives of Bristol City. Now, in talks, that can mean one phone call. Is he, you know, they
and
know
Rob saw him at least 4 times last season, didn't he, Rob Newman?
He's West Ham, isn't he? If there is going to be a bidding war, like you say, Wolves have sold the guy to Saudi Arabia. I mean, Newcastle are linked with an AC Milan player, Sandro Tonali, who's a very good defensive midfield player, plays for AC Milan. So I would think that, I said before that I think it's still most likely that he'll still be here. Now, if he goes let's say it was West Ham, and let's make something up. Let's say they got to the figure that Lansdowne wants and the add-ons that he wants, and he did leave. I don't think West Ham would loan him back to us. I don't think that could happen. Where I think if a club like, I don't know, I'll make something up, Man City or Newcastle bought him, I think they might loan him back or loan us another very good player for the season. So, but there's so many things.
Sorry to interrupt you, loan us another player, but then that won't play to Nigel's mantra of we don't want to develop other clubs' players, do we? You know, I mean,
he's got lots of mantras, but then he might go down a different route. I mean, example, we don't want anybody that doesn't want to be here. Well, why is Kalas still there then?
Yeah.
Because if he wanted to be here, one would assume he would have signed the contract. Now, okay, I get the, and Pearson said, well, you know, good players keep their options open. And all this, that, and the other. Well, that's absolutely fine. But we've got, what was it, 10 days, 8 days to the end of the month. And at that point, he stops getting paid by us. So
that'll focus the mind a bit, won't it?
Well, that will. But on back to Scotty.
Yeah,
I don't think you know, we any of us know what's going to happen until such time as there is a bid made. And then the sort of conversations that are going to go on with his agent are going to be, well, where do you see Alex fitting into your team? And if they start saying, well, you know, we see him essentially as a squad player and we might poke him out on loan somewhere then to develop him, then I think he's going to be hankering to stay here, depending on where that loan is. If they say, well, we're going to loan him to another Premier Division club to develop him, which once again, I say if he signs for West Ham, I think that's unlikely. Particularly with Declan Rice very, very likely to move on. But the club, make no bones about it, the club are trying to sell him. And because they realise exactly what you said at the start, and we discussed ad nauseum, that unless he signs an extension to his contract in a year's time, unless he's had the season of his life, unless he's had a season like Andy Byman had, the one before last,
yeah,
and he's going really well in the first 5 months of the season up to Christmas, his value will fall.
Yeah. No, so, I mean, if between now and Christmas he had, if between now and Christmas, and again, statistics, these assists to the assist, but if between now and Christmas he got, I don't know, 3 goals and 5 assists to add to his already good play, there's a chance you could get a decent wedge for him in January. But then in the summer, you know, if you extrapolate that forward, or even double it up, if in the summer he's got 5 goals and 8 assists, right, his value isn't going to be higher than what it is now, because people know he's only got 1 year left on his contract.
As I said, he needs a Vyman type season if his value is going to maintain even.
Correct.
And then if he has that type of season, then who knows where we're going to be? You know, we might be in the press.
Absolutely right. Neil, what's your... Sorry, just finish what you were saying. Sorry, just started by the sentence.
So there are so many things that could happen. You know, he could stay, he could go. I've said all the way through that I don't see anybody paying what Steve Lansdowne wants. But, you know, I've been wrong before. So let's hope that if we've got that sorted, and then it gives the club more money to invest in, one would hope, better players.
Absolutely. We'll talk about that after the fixtures come back, what the shape of the side is going to look like, and the other transfers that we've actually had in. But I just want Neil to have his view on Alex.
I think ultimately it boils down to what is a bid.
Yeah.
Ultimately, once you make a bid, it's almost like a legally binding document to a certain degree, isn't it? There's a certain amount. You put that in. If the club turns around and goes, yeah, thanks very much, signs it, boom, 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 brilliant, all the rest of it. Are there talks going on between the club and other clubs at the moment with God's God? 100%.
Yeah.
100%. But it's going to be informal, verbal conversations going on. His agent is going to be talking. People are going to be talking, just like they're going to be talking about a number of different...
His agent is not going to advise him to sign the extension, is he?
Absolutely, 100%.
Whereas...
No. Why would you?
Well, because the agent at the end just of the got day, one-dimensional view.
He's right. I mean, there's too much money involved. That's the unfortunate thing. Bristol City's turnover last year was 26 million. Mm. You're talking about 25 million pound, 20, 25 million pound player. I mean, that is a massive amount of money for the club in this situation. Do you hold on to him for a year and then...
And he could get injured. I mean, I'd just take the money out.
Anything different. For me, I think Ian's gone 3 or 4. I would go with a 7-8.
But he'll be... Because, so that's implying that he's going to be gone.
Either late in the window. He might start with us and go late in the window.
Yeah.
But I just think that there'll be momentum from the club. Are you going to sign this contract extension? No, I'm not going to sign the contract extension. Right, okay. There's just too much money involved, isn't it? I know that we're working on plan B at the moment, which is without the Scott money, and that's fine. But when you have an asset and it's depreciating in value, whatever that asset is in life, you have to make a decision at some stage. And those conversations that you have with other clubs when they go, look, we're not going to go beyond a certain figure. The club will go back, won't they?
Yep.
They will know he's not signing a new contract. So anybody buying Scott knows that he's not signing a new contract, because his agents will tell him, don't worry, he's not signing a new contract. Yeah. So he is at his pinnacle at the moment. From this summer onwards, his value is going down.
I think the number, personally, I think the number is 20 million plus add-ons plus sell-on. And I think we do a deal at that.
Modern day deals are very weird, though, aren't they? I mean, there's so many things. How much did Semenya go for?
Well, one really important thing to remember is the timing of the payments. Now, a perfect example of this is Arsenal's offer for Declan Rice, which was mooted at 90 million, right? West Ham rejected it, and then it came out, well, it was 90 million, but that 90 million would be 75 million paid over 4 years, with the possibility, and that's a really important word, possibility, of 15 million in add-ons that you may or may never get. So one of them, for Rice, who's a full England international, et cetera, would be, if Arsenal win the Premier League, we'll give you another 2 million quid. Right? Now, so you might never get those add-ons. We never got the add-ons for Bobby Reid, Joe Bryan, and we haven't had any add-ons for Lloyd Kelly or Josh Brownhill because he hasn't gone anywhere.
And we didn't get anything extra for Semenyo because he didn't get enough minutes on the pitch, did he?
No, I think we did because if you remember, Brian Tinian said the payment was linked to Bournemouth staying in the Premier Division.
Was it? Fair enough.
So that would
Neil just said out. Adam Webster. Neil's just said Adam Webster in terms of sell-ons. I mean, that's gone west now because his stock is not what it was 6 months ago, is it, really?
I think the thing that I take from the transfers at the moment is you look at the Premiership clubs, there's a hell of a lot of them that are having FFP problems, aren't there, in terms of it. There's a lot of clubs there that are saying, thank God for the Saudi Pro League. Getting rid of...
Well, Chelsea have done that.
Other clubs will as well, though. I mean, you know. And I think there's a lot of the big clubs that are just sorting out their finances in relation at the moment. And I think that's why there might be a delay in the lesser deals coming through. They might come later on in the window or they might come after the season started. Because I think a lot of the clubs will be getting rid of players that have got a year left on their contract, that are on good wages, that aren't really performing. Where do we get them rid to? Do we get them rid? And then you've got this, like, almost like China from 5 years ago, isn't it, with the Saudi League, where they're just like, we need players. We need players in this league. Right, okay, well, can I sell you this 32-year-old who is a bit useless for us and he's got a year left? Yeah, we'll give you 35. No, jobs are good, you know, isn't it, really, at the moment, you know. And a lot of the club's finances across the board will get resolved. Players will have, you know, at the end of June, as Ian has said, people stop getting paid, the out-of-contract players. People will be sitting down looking at it. Alex Scott is not a key signing for a Premiership club. He is a development signing for a Premiership club, isn't he? That's why I think he'll go later on in the window, if not after the season starts.
Yeah, yeah. No, well, it's fast approaching 0900 hours for fixture release. And I think I'm right in saying, chaps, that the Caribou Cup draw is imminent.
2:30 today.
Oh, it's 2:30.
And let's just say, let's not have the gas, because that would just be absolutely nothing to win on that, is there? You know, everybody, it'd be brilliant. No, it wouldn't. Why would it be brilliant to have Rovers?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it would be a game that we would be expected to win. It would be their cup final. Barton would tell all their players to go out, be passionate, be this. We'd probably have a load of our players kicked up into the heavens. And it would
nothing
be
to gain by playing them.
Nothing to gain. And the last time, the JPT trophy in 2013, there was the pitch invasions, the 17 people arrested, all the rest of it. God, can you imagine the chaos?
Yeah, absolutely not. So it's literally seconds away from 9 o'clock as we're recording this. I don't know who's going to get it first. Will it appear on Twitter? I'm having a look on Twitter. Neil's probably going to have a look at the website. It's build-up time. According to my computer, it says it is 9 o'clock. Fixture release day live. We're sat here looking now. Here we go. Anybody got it? And Neil has got it.
Preston North End at home.
Whoopee bloody do.
First game of the season.
Preston North End at home. Ian, you got that? Preston North End at home?
I haven't got the fixtures come up yet because I'm on the BBC.
Right. We start. So, let's look at August. Pre-window, we've got four fixtures before the window shuts, and that is Preston at home, Millwall away, Birmingham City home, Hull away. early and my dog's come in to show us his ball, and he's wagging his tail. He's excited about it. He's chewing a tennis ball there, and he needs a drink, which I'm going to leave Neil to talk about that. Let's quickly look. Where are we on Boxing Day? That's the big days. Boxing Day, Tuesday. Somebody had it right. Watford away.
Somebody was in there.
New Year's Day, Millwall at home.
The club released the Watford away by mistake.
End of the season. Where's that? Look, get rid of that at the bottom of your phone. That's there. Here we go. Last game of the season, Stoke away. So that's interesting. Let's get back to the early part of those fixtures then.
Good first couple of months.
There's no easy games in that division. And then if you look into September, have you got them yet, Ian?
I haven't got them, but I will.
We'll carry on looking. September, Swansea away, West Brom at home, Plymouth at home. That's after the international break. Leicester away, mid-September, and then home to Stoke. Rotherham away, tough game at Leeds at the beginning of October. Ipswich Town, Mark Ashton makes a return to Ashton Gate for a night game. So that's not going to be altered. He's a man of the night. There we go.
I think it's the first couple of months of the season, you couldn't have done better than that, could you?
Well, I look at that and I say Leicester away. If Leicester away in the first 10 games, that is, isn't it? Yeah, right. Leicester away is the toughest game of the first 10.
First 2 months of the season, you've got Preston, Millwall, Birmingham, Hull, Swansea, West Brom, Stoke City, Plymouth. So, of the sides coming down, yeah, you've got Leicester away on the Saturday, the 23rd. Other than that, that is a fairly, you know, if you've been hammered at the start of the season with the three clubs coming up. But it doesn't look daunting.
No. Does it? I mean, even if you look into October.
Tough division this year, if you look into October,
you know, Rotherham away, Leeds away, tough week up in Yorkshire, that is, isn't it? Yeah. The Coventry at home, Ipswich home, and then Cardiff away. You're not going to be scared of those boys, are you, really?
I think there's
a couple of international breaks in there as well. There's an international break week ending at the 9th of September. I plan my holiday that week. Yeah, it doesn't look scary for some reason.
Well, it's a competitive league this year, isn't it? I mean, you know, there are no Wiggins in there, are there? At the end of the day, there's no.
Well,
so, yeah. I think that's all right.
Let's see where we are. My birthday weekend, West Brom away. Oh, same week as the FA Cup quarterfinals. We're not going to be in that, are we? We're not going to trouble them. And then
Leicester City, interesting. One on the Friday, March the 29th, Leicester City home. And then that's the bank holiday.
That's Good Friday. And then bank holiday Monday. Yeah.
Bank holiday Plymouth Monday. We got Argyle away.
And then five days later, up to Sunderland. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they're all, like you said, Dave, there aren't any easy games. You're looking down there. I always look for clubs that I think should finish below us. I know that's a bit cruel, but I'm looking at, or clubs we can be competitive with. And the ones that haven't got parachute payments, and I think that's a pretty good start to the season. And yeah. I think when you run into September, you know, I think first 10 games,
you know, and if we're going to be up there or thereabouts, the first 10 games have got to produce 17 points.
Correct.
16 points. And then you start.
I do love your averages on the fixtures stuff, though.
But that's what you need. I mean, if you look at the tail end of the season, I mean, you've got to get the home games because after Sunderland away, you got Blackburn home, Huddersfield home, tough way away game at Norwich, then Rotherham at home. So Blackburn, Huddersfield, and Rotherham, the last three home games. You look at those and think they're winnable.
It's imperative, of course, in a division for whether you're at the bottom end of the table or the top end of the table to get that good start, isn't it?
Yeah.
That said, Coventry this year, had an awful start to the season, and then they got into the playoffs.
I know.
So, you know, it's not always let's just look at August.
But. Let's just look at August, those first four against August. And I would say Preston, I'd expect us to win on the opening day of the season against them, even though they're our bogey side.
It's a great, well, up until last season, it's a great start to the season for us, isn't it? Great first opening game.
What do you think, Ian?
I think it is. I mean, when you look at the games, I mean, we are in that division and we've got to play all those teams sooner or later. But what you wouldn't have wanted was to you know, in the first 2 months of the season, to play all the relegated teams away. That wouldn't have been a great place to be, would it? So yeah, no. I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, yeah, I'm perfectly happy with the start. I think the other time you look at it is the end of the season. If we were thereabouts, and I totally agree with you, it is the average you need if you're going to get in the playoffs over the last few years is 1.7 points a game, so 17. But if you look at the end of the season, that too, April and May, doesn't look before a ball's kick, it doesn't look impossibly difficult. No. You've got Sunderland, who were my tip this season to do well, because it looks like they're going to re-sign Ellis Sims, but on a permanent transfer from Everton.
Yeah.
And they'll have Stewart fit again. But if you look at April, Plymouth, Sunderland, Blackburn, Huddersfield, Norwich, Rotherham, Stoke City. Now, that's not, if you needed to get, say, 9 points from those fixtures, that wouldn't frighten you to death, would it?
No, not at all. Not at all. No, I mean, that's good. And as you said, Ian, you don't want the promoted clubs or the relegated clubs. And we've only got very early on, but in the first 10 games, you know, we've got Plymouth at home and Leicester away. They're the only clubs that we've not played in recent years, yeah? So I think we're getting cautiously optimistic here, aren't we? All right, I think we're done with fixtures because everybody can read them now and the dates are all going to move around a bit. Let's talk about players that we've signed and then what we might... I personally think if Scott doesn't go, I think that's pretty much the end of our spending, to be honest, give or take another defender that's coming in. Yeah, I think we're going to get one more defender, but come on to that. That's just my view. Before we talk about those transfers, though, it was a story. I think it was a story in Bristol Live or whatever it's called these days. Phil Alexander, totally different character to Mark Ashton, but the situation of Nigel Pearson's contract was sort of touched on and brushed away. I mean, Ian, you know. I almost feel that the chairman's got his finger on the trigger
not the chairman.
Not the chairman. It? No, well, chairman's, the owner. The owner. Sorry. The
chairman's never had his finger on the pulse.
Nigel's got to have a good start, hasn't he? Would you agree, Ian? He has to.
Well, I said when this question came up last season, and I think it was you that raised it, Dave. I think Pearson did enough last season to get the summer and the first 2 months of this season.
Mm.
Now, because his record isn't that great. Now, we all know you can call them reasons, you can call them excuses, but we all know the reasons. Oh, he hasn't had any money to spend, which frankly he has, because people forget we bought Atkinson, we bought Tanner, we bought Cornick, we bought Mometi. So he has had money to spend. He's now bought 18 players, five of which have already left the club. So he's got that period. Now, after that first 10 games of the season, I say, the first 2 months, if we're languishing in 18th, then I wouldn't really see the point of saying, well, do you want a new contract? Because we might be thinking, hang on a minute, we spent money in the summer, the Semenyo money, assuming Scott's still here, and I'm assuming Callas is still going to be here at this point. We know that we want to sign Jason Knight from Derby, and no doubt we'll come on to that. But I'd be saying, well, you're on about giving this bloke a new contract. Really, what we should be thinking of doing is replacing him. Now, conversely, if we're in the top 10 and we look like we're playing well and there's some consistency there, we're turning defeats into draws, and more importantly,
draws into wins.
Draws into wins. That's very important because we've won, as I pointed out, we've won the same number of games for the last three seasons, 15, 1-5 out of 46. That's not brilliant. So then we have to say, right, he's doing really well. And then as the season goes on, that's the time to talk about a new contract because it's based on achievement. It's not based on, oh, well, he's done a good job so far. I think he's done an okay job under the circumstances. But what you don't, it's not whether you change your manager or you don't, it's who you change it for. So for every one that you say, oh, well, that didn't work, Warnock went into Huddersfield, loved the bloke around him, it worked.
Turned it round.
Borough changed their manager, that worked. Coventry kept their manager, that worked. So Steve Cooper at Forest the season before.
That worked.
Forest changed their manager, that worked. So it's not whether you change them or it's who you change them for and what they bring with them. So, you know, let's before we start talking about new contracts, he's got a contract for another year. Let's see where we are.
Well, he's got a contract to the end of March. I think, is it to the end of? Oh, no, it was three, to the end of the season. No, you're right. Sorry, you're right. Neil, let me, bit pressed for time. We have 15 minutes to go on a pod. We've got a lot to get through. Neil, your thoughts on the Neil? I totally get what Ian's saying.
I think it's a two way thing as well. I mean, you're not talking about a young manager mid 30s, 40s, or whatever. You're talking about a manager who turned 60, and it's got to be right for him.
60 in August, yeah.
Yeah, it's got to be right for him as well. I mean, if he's going to sign another contract, he's come down here. He said 3 years. That's what I want. That's how long it's going to take. And he's had to admit last season it's taken longer than he thought it would do. So if you're looking for a commitment for him now, it's not another year, is it? Realistically, you'd have to say a multi-year thing. So it has to be right for the club and it has to be right for Nigel Pearson at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, we've stabilised. I wouldn't say that we're pushed on as a club. I think we've stabilised as it. We seem to not be frantically, you know, doing our swan impression underneath the water.
I think the difference this time around is that we've had a level of reset and reorganisation. We haven't had to pay the price of relegation to go through it.
That said, last season, if we didn't have the academy and the academy players go, we were really light in squad terms, weren't we? And we could have really been caught out
at the end of the season.
Defenders-wise.
But we weren't.
Hence why we got the defenders in that we have done in the window.
But yeah, and let's come on to that. Ian, let's look at the three that we've signed, Dickey, McCrory and Roberts. All good signings, yeah? And Roberts being the one that wouldn't be a first pick, but McCrory and Dickey would be. Dickey, looking at QPR forum, you know, he wasn't great last season, but... Awful, player of the year.
Awful in the away
player of the year before that. And then McCrory, as you say, versatile player, can play in a number of positions. Gary Ours was on here saying we need to sign specialists, not these versatile players. And what about the step up from Scottish Prem up to Championship? Is that much of a step up or not really, Ian? So just briefly your thoughts on the three players that we've signed, and then we'll talk a minute about the ones that we're allegedly trying to sign, but the three that we've signed.
Okay, well, let's start with McCrory. He's ex-Rangers youth, so there's some pedigree there. Played for Aberdeen. He's 25. He played four positions for Aberdeen last season. He played in three different formations. So he played right centre-back, centre-midfield, right wing back and right back. He's 6 foot two, 37 appearances this season, 5 goals and an assist. And he's made 115 senior appearances. He did a year's loan down at Pompey and he's right sided. So we know he strikes me, having watched video of him in one thing and another, as a bit of a right footed Cal Naismith, which wouldn't be a bad thing. If you go back, it'd be interesting where Nigel Pearson sees him playing, because everybody who's seen him playing is talking about him as a midfielder. Yeah. Now, Rob.
Well, can I just say, Neil's just written down right back, and Dave Fevs, who's not one to talk about systems and formations or what have you, but he's put him as a right back, and he said to me earlier this week that, you know, injuries and how they shape up in training permitting, he thinks a back four on the opening day of the season now against Preston will read McCrory, Viner, Dickey and Pring. And that looks pretty strong. Would you agree with that? And would you agree with, you know, that?
It depends if Rob Dickey can play left centre-back, because he's right-sided. And one advantage that McCrory and Dickey give you is they can shoot from distance, both of them.
Yeah.
And the reason Dickey didn't do as well at QPR is Ainsworth wanted to play gung-ho, boot it, and he's a footballer.
Yeah.
Now, that's not me saying that. That's what QPR
is. No, I've read that. Yeah.
He's a right centre back. He's English. He's 27, so he's got some experience. He's played 113 times for QPR, scored 6 goals, 6'4". And we got him for 700,000 plus 300 grand in add ons because QPR have got some issues around FFP. Although, yesterday they opened a £20 million version of their version of the HPC. So, I think they've got rich owners, but the rules are the rules. So that's Dickey. Yeah, I mean, he is a specialist. He plays centre-back and that's it. But he is a footballer, which I like. So he fits the mould, but can he play on the left of a two in the middle? Now, a lot of right-sided players over the years have done that successfully, and they're probably the most...
Well, that's what you're asking Callas to do, if Callas stays and Dickey played it.
Yeah.
You know,
and Callas can. And you've got John Terry, who's another one. So Hayden Roberts, just take a look at him. I mean, obviously, we've signed him from Brighton. He's had loan spells at Derby, 36 appearances. Now, he can both shoot from distance and cross the ball. So for that reason, he's going forward, an upgrade on Jay. He also made 24 appearances for Rochdale when they were in League One.
Yeah. He can play left in a three, can't he?
He can, but depending on which website, he's either 5'7" or 5'9".
Yeah, but if he plays left in a three, that gives you an extra balance on there, then Dickey in the middle, and then Viner. And then you push McCrory in midfield, and then you can have Sykes. I mean, there's just so many permutations. All right, that's the three that we signed. 40, let me ask them.
There's 45 permutations exactly if you look at the players we've got on a who can play where basis.
Right. All right, that's too many to dissect. Let me ask Neil his view on those signings. They're okay, aren't they?
Well, when you look at Dickey and McCrory, for me, the difference is the height. Really, I think last year we were quite a small team, weren't we? Physically, we were quite a small team, and I think from set pieces, from corners, from free kicks, whatever, you took Rob Atkinson out of that team, and you didn't see too many other goals coming from set pieces from us. No. And I think, you know, moving forward, we need to be a little bit more on the front foot and a little bit more aggressive in the opponent's box from corners, set pieces, all the rest of it. Hence why you're suddenly playing potentially a 6'2" guy at right back.
Yeah.
It gives you other options at the other end of the field.
Yeah.
And I think Dickey gives you other options at the other end of the field as well.
Yeah.
Ultimately, we need to score more goals next season, don't we?
We absolutely, and more goals from midfield.
I'm just going to give
my dog some water. So Neil and Ian, you start it. Neil, talk about the player Knight from Derby that seems to be, and we talk about players wanting to come here, right? Yeah, and I think Ian said on Twitter yesterday evening, time to move on if he can't make his mind up.
Well, I think the thing with Jason Knight is that he came across to Derby as a 16-year-old, and he's been there, and now he's in the full Republic of Ireland squad. Fair play to him. He's got a year left on his contract, and ultimately, he's got a decision not unlike a Zach Viner situation. You know, he needs to move on from Derby. If they'd gone up, I'm sure he would have stayed at Derby, but they haven't gone up. He's in League One. He needs to be playing at a high level. That's what his Republic of Ireland manager has said to him. You need to be playing at a high level. Is he going to get better offers? And I'm not talking about Ipswich, because that's just a promoted club at the end of the day. But is he going to get top-end championship offers, or is he going to get lower-end premiership offers? And that's a decision for him. So, it's about his ambition, isn't it? Is his ambition to be in a championship at this stage into the end, or is his ambition to hold out? He's got a year left on his contract. He doesn't have to rush into anything. No. Is he thinking, well, let's just wait and see whether or not any lower-end premiership teams view him as a player or top-end championship? Yeah, but, or top-end championship players.
Yeah.
Ultimately, you're talking about a player that people have drawn comparisons to Scott about, but you're talking about 1.5 million.
You're talking about a tenth of the cost. Ian, you commented, that he's a Duracell bunny type player, but his stats ain't all that, are they?
Well, let's look at Jason Knight. He's 22. As Neil said, he's a full Republic of Ireland international, so he would have seen the High Performance Centre, because they were over training. He would have seen the stadium, and no doubt Sykesy could have told him all about Bristol, so that's good. 125 appearances, 12 goals, so he's a 1 in 10 guy. He, in the last 2 months of last season, he played right wing back, left centre mid and left wing. That's just in the last 2 months. So I've been talking a lot with Derby fans on Twitter and one thing or another, and said, well, where do you think his best position is? And they've said attacking midfield, but he doesn't get a chance to play there because, the manager plays different formations, and basically they think he's been messed about a bit because he's versatile and he can play in different positions.
Right.
I would have no objection with seeing him come in because he fits the profile that Matt was texting about earlier on. But there is a value that you can go to. And it depends, what are we signing him as? If we're signing him as Alex Scott replacement, I mean, that's a pretty high bar, but let's just say we are, then he'd need to obviously add a lot of goals and assists. And my contention is, was two things. One is the price, and apparently our last bid was around 1.5 million, and that would have probably been... with some ifs, buts and maybes in there, but let's just say it's 1.5, and that probably been payable over, I'm guessing, a couple of years. But I know that with Steve Lansdowne in the past, we've got players because he's gone in and said, right, I'll tell you what, I know you've got that, and they're offering to pay you that over three seasons. I'll write you a check for it now, and he's got a better deal. Now I know that's happened, so we don't know if Steve can do that. Hopefully. The Ipswich thing is genuine because they made two bids for him last season.
Okay.
And they also were looking at Taylor at Peterborough. And Peterborough want, like, silly money.
I was discussing this with
Matt. And, for a bloke that's not played outside League One, they're looking, we want 4 or 5 million. So, I mean, move on. But I think that's the decision we've got to make. How much money firstly, they've watched him a lot. How good is he? Do we really want him? Where does he fit into our team match one of the season? Because we don't want to be signing players and then we get to the first game of the season and find out that none of them have made the first team or only two of them have.
Well, and that's always been...
Fair enough with Roberts, because we know he's essentially being signed as our second left back. And like Pring, he can play it one in, and he can also play a bit further forward on.
But look, we've said any player that we sign has got to be better than what we got, right? So just to sort of to wrap up a little bit, I'm just going to have a say on a couple of points, yeah? And I'll come to each of you after it. Right. And I spoke with Dave Fevs the other day about this, and we look at the starting lineup on the opening day of the season, right? With what we've got now, never mind signing Knight and never mind Scott being sold. Yeah. And I know, Ian, you say we need a 28-man squad because we seem to have more injuries than most. Therefore, we can't get by with a 22. But the opening day of the season looks like this, at the moment. Max O'Leary in goal. And this is Dave's back four, yeah, which I agree with him. McCrory, Viner, Dickey, Pring. Middle of the park, Sykes, James, Naismith, and Scott, assuming he's still here, up front, Conway and Wells. That was Dave Fev's lineup when I spoke with him, right? That leaves on the bench players like...
What formation's that?
Sorry?
What formation's that?
Well, that's a four. It's a loose 4-2-3-1 or 4-3-2-1, whichever way you want to look at it. He's saying two up front.
I thought you said we had two up front.
Yeah. Conway and Wells.
Well, is that a 4-2-3-1 then?
There's two up front and it's four in the middle. But it's a 4-3-3 then. It's a loose 4-3-3 if Sykes pushes up on the right. All right?
Yeah.
But let's not get hung up on formations. Yeah. I'm just saying that would be a starting 11, which means no place in the starting 11 for people like Vyman and Williams, who are both in the last year of their contract, as Neil's just pointed out to me. And then the next part of that sort of statement is if we sell Scott, right, let's assume it's on the low side of 20 million. And let's say the manager is given half of that to spend, and I'm not including wages because, you know, we've got rid of players and wages have gone, right? You know, okay, one of those players in that team that I've just named is Scott, so he does drop out. But any future spending, you first, Neil, midfield or up front?
Goalkeeper.
Which is why that non-goalkeeper was mentioned?
Well... That has got to be the Scott plan, isn't it? If you've got additional money, where do you improve the
company? But we're in the realms, because whereas we've been spending, I'll say between 1 and 2 million.
Yeah,
but Ian's just said you don't want players that are coming in that don't make it into the starting lineup.
But I don't think necessarily you need to go beyond 2-3 million on.
No, that's what I'm saying. There's a big difference between 1 and 2 million, and I'll say 2 and 3.5 million.
Yes, and obviously during our halcyon days, we used to spend 2 million like it was going out of fashion, yeah. Didn't we? 2-3 million like it was going out of fashion, like it was petty change.
But goalkeeper, you think, is a key position? Well, it is a key position, yeah. But
it's huge, isn't it? I mean, I think Max is a solid championship keeper, but is he a playoff keeper? Is he a keeper that's going to take you higher in the club? I'm not sure. I see him as a number two. If we are looking at that, I don't see him as
that starting lineup that I've just said there, as it stands like that. Is there anybody that I've included that you wouldn't? Let's not get hung up on formations, because I said it.
No, I don't think so. I think that at the top end, I think Conway and Wells work best together. And then you've got a lot of players there to actually fit in certain positions.
Well, on the bench, again, if that's what the lineup is, on the Mometi, bench that day, Cornick. You've got Vyman, Mometi, Cornick for starters in there, yeah?
So I...
And Sam Bell.
Yeah.
You know?
All of these players that you haven't mentioned.
All those... All right, Ian, your show. My team, is there anybody that I put in that 11 you'd say, well, I'd have him ahead of him? In there.
Well, rather than do that, I'll quote you two teams. The one that I, if you're going to play 4-2-3-1, and we think we probably will, because that's what we played for most of last season, but it was a happy accident going to a back four. But 4-2-3-1, in goal, O'Leary, from right to left at the back, Tanner, Dickey, Kalas, Pring. In front of them, Naismith and McCrory. The three is Sykes on the right, Vyman in the middle, Scott on the left, and then you've got Conway up front. That's a 4-2-3-1. If you go back to what I would prefer to see us do, because we need to score goals, I would play, particularly in the home games, I'd play a 4-1-3-2. And that team would be O'Leary in goal, McCrory at right back, Dickey, Kalas, Pring. Naismith is the one. The three behind the two strikers are Scott, Vyman and Sykes. And then you've got Wells and Conway up front.
Mm.
Now, and then on the bench, you know, that's interesting, because at the moment you'd have to say Wells, Richards, Viner, Roberts, James, Williams, Wells if it's one up top, or if it's not, you've got Mehmeti and Bell. So, you know, it's a strongish looking team, and that's what I'm saying. If you say, well, we're going to bring in Sykes, where does he fit?
Yeah, and where does and you know, and if Knight comes in, where does he fit?
I
mean, it's interesting that you've included Weimann in both of your teams, whereas
We need gold.
Yeah, well,
who else scores goals?
Yeah. Well, he didn't get many last season, Ian. He got about four.
He got eight times as many as Alex Scott, who we reckon's worth 25, 30 million. Think on.
If we sell Scott, right?
Yeah.
Neil said goalkeeper a priority. And let's say we sell him for 20 and he's, oh no, we get more than that. No, let's be realistic. 20 and Nigel's got 10 million to spend. Yeah, we'll call it 12 million including wages. Yeah. Where are you spending? And you're going to go out and buy three. So where are you spending? Not who.
I agree with Neil. We need a better goalkeeper to provide competition for Max O'Leary. And the other two lads need football, so they both need to go out on loan. And then we would need, in my opinion, we've got enough players to play in that. We might need one more player to play in that two. Bear in mind, he's never played there for us, but Zach Viner can play in the two in front of the four if that's what we're going to do. And then we need a nine. Somebody like Stewart or Yocker is that mould. I'm not talking about a head on a stick, but somebody that can actually hold the ball up when we've got one up top, because we will still go long at times, and that person needs to be able to retain the ball. But one of the things we stopped doing after the first eight games last season, we stopped scoring goals, and he couldn't cure it all season. So that's when he was interviewed on Radio Bristol. Nigel Pearson said, well, we know we don't get enough goals and assists from our midfield. And then he went, even our 10s don't score.
Yeah.
So that should tell you how he's thinking, but we need to score probably another 15, 20 goals more than we got last season. Now, we improved the defence, no argument with that. We stopped conceding as many. And bear in mind, we were conceding far too many. But that's the players I go for. I go for a goalie, a nine, and possibly a defensive midfielder, assuming no one moves on.
Yeah.
And that's okay. I'm talking Callas and Scott.
All right. Okay. Turn your mic down, Ian, because I'm going to wrap it up now. Just to say what I'm going to say. That's interesting. I mean, it is interesting times. You know, the friendlies will be upon us before we know where we are. I've signed up I use my points to buy my match feeds from the HPC. So that should be interesting. Got the fixtures out. Bit underwhelming, really, isn't it? You know, Preston at home on the opening day, but it's a winnable one. That means I won't be cutting short my holiday in Cyprus by one day. If it had been Leeds or one of the big ones at home, I would have been coming home a day earlier. I had sort of passed that by the boss, but that's what was going to happen, yeah? Although that could have been played on the Monday, or it might even have been played on the Friday if it had been against one of those. But guys, and everybody who's listened to that, hope you've had enjoyed it. And as I say, I hope over 500 of you listened to the Gary Shelton interview. That was a great pleasure seeing Gary. And we got a few more lined up coming up. But enjoy the rest of the summer, everybody. And I'm sure we'll have a couple more. We'll have a couple of pre-season previews as well. But Ian and Neil, thanks a lot for joining me today. And everybody else, thanks a lot for listening. All the best, everybody. All the best.
God bless everyone. Bye-bye now.
We feel happy, as happy as a king, when the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along. There'll be no more sobbing when he stops throbbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy, what if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin's out, bob, bob, bobbing along. Red Robin come bobbing along, along. There'll be no more sobbing when he starts robbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead. Get up, get out of bed. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bobbing along.